I've got 5:39 on the clock, and we can call to order. The first item on the agenda, or the second, is approval of the May board agenda. Has everyone had a chance to take a look?
Yes.
So moved.
Okay. All right. Would anyone like to move to approve? I'll move to approve.
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any? Okay. I don't hear any opposed. Motion carries.
Board members, can I just confirm the first, Christy, was yourself, and then Carla, the second, I'm sorry, Gerald, the second was you?
Correct.
Okay. Yes.
Thank you. And since we're on teleconference, I need to do a roll call at this point.
Okay.
So Christy?
Yes.
Carla?
Yes.
Dilda?
Yes.
And Gerald McFadden?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. The third item on the agenda is public comment. I'm not sure if we have any members of the public on. Doreen, do you know?
I don't believe we have any on.
Okay. Okay, then we can just move on, correct?
Correct.
Okay. All right, item four, board discussion items. Ms. Moltz, update on COVID-19 in Attachment A and the San Bernardino petition renewal update, public hearing, video demonstration.
Perfect. So board members, I will take you through very briefly. I know we have a very packed agenda. Just a brief update on where we are at with COVID-19. Since we last spoke, we discussed the different executive orders issued by Governor Newsom, allowing basically to hold all of the schools hold harmless for their fiscal payments or fiscal funding, I should say. Most recently, the topic, the latest executive order was extending the deadline of LCAP. Board members, as you're aware, historically, this is the time where we, one, approve our budget, and then, two, we approve our local control accountability plan that really details out the focus of our services as well as our budget expenditures. Usually, they come to you together as an integrated presentation. At this point, Governor Newsom has shared that although the budget requirements are still required, he is suspending the requirements for the official LCAP to be developed until December 2020. In lieu of that, he has asked us for an operational report. And board members, that is also in your packet. It's called the COVID-19 Operations Written Report, and it just really asks us to detail how we're meeting the needs of our current students at this point, what we have put in place for distance learning. He asks us to describe how we're handling providing provision of meals, and that was provided to us first couple weeks in May. He is sharing that in lieu of our LCAP being due July 1st, he would like that to be submitted by July 1st. The principals and myself are currently working on that now, and we will bring that before you at our June 16th board meeting for review and approval. He has shared that most likely they will be put on hold, that I know is before we embarked on COVID. The state of California had changed over to what they were calling their new accountability system with the school dashboard. And remember all the, we spoke briefly about it with the oranges and the reds and the greens and the blues. They shared, the CDE has at this point put that on hold, recognizing the schools, well, since we're not testing, we essentially do not have any data. So he has suspended the California dashboard going forward for this year. The huge piece of information, though, I did want to bring forward, though, is the governor recently issued his May revise. I'm sure many of you had an opportunity to hear snippets of his May revise. In it, as you're aware, prior he did extend several suspensions on the Brown Act, as well as several allowances as far as instructional minutes for schools. He was silent on that. We all know that this executive order expires June 30th, so we anticipate him issuing additional guidance on that. However, as it speaks to his May revise, I think the biggest piece based on that, which impacts us significantly, is that, you know, California from COVID, or one of the impacts of COVID, is now we're going into a budget deficit, state of California. So he has proposed and is providing guidance to all the schools at this point to that the LCFF funding will be reduced by 10%. He has shared he will work with the federal government to try to get additional funding. At this point, however, that has not been confirmed. In his May revise, he does estimate schools reducing 10%. He has shared other categorical programs, such as our after school program, will also take a reduction in funding. He has also shared our SB 740 dollars will also most likely be impacted. As you're aware, board members, in the past, it was one of those programs that they had set aside a finite amount of dollars. It's historically been oversubscribed. And in the past, they have sometimes allowed additional allocation of funds to go into that program. It does not look like that is the case going forward this year. He also shared in his May revise, much like we experienced in the past when California experienced some fiscal challenges, there's going to be a high likelihood of deferrals. And as you're aware, that many of you were with us during that time, and that's where we will not receive the school funding until oftentimes our June funding until well into the summer. He anticipates that occurring this year. Our June funding will come in July. And then likewise, he predicts another deferral in February and spring. He did share that he recognizes the substantial impact COVID has had upon students with distance learning. Albeit we're doing the best we can, he does recognize that there is going to be potential learning loss. So he has identified, and this is the funding out of the CARES Act, he has identified a portion of a one-time allotment to each of the schools to address these learning loss situation. He has yet to identify the allocation amount for these one-time amounts. He is also is proposing a formula based on our LCFF, but only the concentration grant portion of it. So with that in mind, different schools based on your needs will receive a different allocation with that. I did want to share with you, this is not settling well with the superintendents, as you can imagine, in the school districts. I had included in your packet a letter that actually several large school districts came together and wrote a formal letter to the governor sharing, you know, in light of all the additional things that we have to do for COVID as far as sanitation and technology and social distancing, as well as staffing, custodial staff, extra cleaning, the reductions is impacting us significantly, and there's just no way, and I included additional articles for you in your packet, that we could reopen. It's it's essentially very unrealistic unless we get additional dollars. So that is all primarily in your packet. I would think that is primarily the biggest thing that I know the principal and I have been focusing on over the last 2 weeks since that May revise. Actually, it just came out, I want to say, last week. We're very, very focused on that. One other aspect is the federal funding. They have identified additional one-time increase of funding. Again, this is all specific to COVID to help support, you know, any sanitization, any social distancing, any distance education. This allotment is really based on our Title I funding, and I want to share that it's again one time. San Bernardino's is about 60,000 and El Centro is about 80,000. They have shared that we actually have to apply for it. However, the application has not yet been released, so we'll be tracking that to make sure once that comes out, we're positioned to apply. The next step we are doing as it relates to COVID-19 is we're really beginning as a team to think about reopening and how that will look. Everyone has shared, you know, that it definitely, we're going to have somewhat of a new normal. School is not going to look like what it did pre-COVID, whether it's, you know, a hybrid approach, maintaining social distancing, and as well as the need to sanitize the facility probably minute by minute. So the principals and I have begun discussions about that. There has been some guidance from the state on how they expect that to look. The superintendent has shared, though, it will be definitely a locally designed approach. He said he hopes, though, that from the state's perspective, that they do at least issue some sort of guidance. He says in the week, over the next, and then he backtracked and said over the next couple of weeks. So we will keep our eye out for that as well as we move through this process. I will stop there and ask if there's any questions on the governor's May revise, on sort of updates on COVID. Again, a very fluid environment. Things are changing probably daily on this, as it's been the case. I want to say there's probably 2 and 3 webinars a day that you can participate in as it relates to distance learning, special education services, or just plain administrative policy.
Doreen?
Yes.
I've had several staff members saying to me today that they've read newspaper articles, and I've asked them to send it to me, saying that what's come out today is that they recognize that COVID-19 is not transmitted via objects and things. So that kind of opens up things a little bit, saying that, you know, if it's a desk, if it's a counter, if it's a whatever, that it's not transferable. So, you know, I thought that was good news because it means we can save some money on bleach wipes. But I'm waiting for the, I said, send me the articles. But if that's the case, that's a little bit of a, you know, a shift. You know, I mean, it doesn't mean we're not going to clean, because I think we need to provide security to all of our parents. But I think if it's true that, you know, handling the same crayon is not going to pass along the disease, then we can have art class.
Bill, where did you get the information from?
No one yet, but teachers told me they read or heard on a news show. And I said, well, send me that research. So I'm waiting for it. You know, I didn't see it or hear it, but they were all like, oh, yes, I read today. Oh, I read today. And so I'll talk to them in the meeting tomorrow again.
I'd be interested in seeing that.
Yeah, me too.
You know, I think that that goes to what Doreen is talking about fluid. I mean, I think they're fluid, and there's a lot of opinions out there. But if they've been really very clear that, I mean, it does have a shelf life on surfaces, you know, that would seem hard pressed to say that all of a sudden it couldn't be transmitted if it could, in fact, stay alive for several hours on the surface. So I think we want to be very cautious. And I'm like Bill, show me the data, and from more than one source, because of the implications that it could have at this point, for contagion. So yeah, Doreen, I was going to just ask if you could speak to the thinking behind some of the larger school districts and saying that they can't possibly open. I mean, what is their alternative, in terms of the kids and the education? And I understand there's risk all the way around, but what are they saying in lieu of? Because the state is broke. I mean, the state is broke. Mm-hmm. And we don't yet have a supplemental funding package, a stimulus package for states. And even if we did, it's probably not going to be enough all the way around. But what are the district, the large district leaders proposing as an alternative?
I think one of two things. I think honestly, this is it. And this is just my opinion again. I think this is like you said, Gerald, the state is broke. I mean, that's the reality of it. I also think it's a political play, and I'll put it in quotes, on their part, to Governor Newsom saying, you can't possibly, how can you treat the children like this? Yeah. You can't possibly expect us in everything we have going on to reopen. So I think that's part of it, to in attempts to sway the legislator, obviously, to vote against his proposed 10% LCFF funding reduction. In their defense, being advocates and stewards of education, I think that's something that they probably need to do. The second piece in their letter, they outline a recommendation of hybrid, or to maintain this type of distance learning for the students. Mm-hmm. And that can look very differently depending on what district you're at. Some are proposing half days, some come on Mondays, others come on Tuesdays, others come on Wednesdays, others come on, Thursdays, and then reserving Fridays for maybe one-on-ones or some intensive services for certain students. So that's really kind of what they're proposing to maintain distance learning, or some hybrid of it, because their argument is now they've got to hire more janitors, more custodians, additional staff, cleaning supplies, even facilities and looking at the facilities of keeping them in a socially distance, less students in a classroom, which means there needs to be more teachers supporting, their class size reductions. I also believe a heavy influence is our CTA. Are weighing in on what can and cannot be done, and their certain job functions, and what can be expected of them in this situation.
Yeah. Okay.
All around it is hard, because I mean the state is broke, like you were saying, but we're not getting help from the feds either, so it's sort of hard for the state to want to help. But if they don't have the money, then they can't do it.
Yeah.
And I think the governor, you know, I think he's in a very challenging position. I think, you know, he was faced with a significant deficit. I think he tried to build in supports, you know, for all of the different services. I know he did say he was holding harmless special education funding. So special education is, I don't want to say exempt, but it is not impacted by that 10% reduction. He did say if, you know, the federal government can provide additional funding, he will look at that 10% reduction. He also was trying, I think, in attempts to address the learning loss by taking some of the CARES dollars and allocating that in a one-time situation. I know he has done this in the past with that one-time funding, and I think that he, in a sense, does that so that it doesn't become part of your regular apportionment, but in a way it allows him to get some additional dollars to support the schools. But he is, you know, I think everybody is aware we are in a significant, we're going into a significant, you know, deficit.
So are you saying we are opening our school in the fall?
At this point, we're working on, we've put together a committee or a task force to develop a plan and to identify, we're trying to get as much information from all different sources as to what is the best scenario, and then we'll identify sort of a going forward approach, whether it's hybrid, whether it's, you know, half days, Monday, variable days. And I think we would also want to take the lead from our authorizers as well. And they haven't issued any information to my knowledge at this point.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's really hard for everybody because we don't know how it's going to be going forward and what to look for and what, you know, It is really hard.
Yes.
Definitely. You know, one of the things I think is going to be important, Doreen, Bill, Shannon, and other members of the board, is that, you know, I think our innovativeness is going to be very critical to us surviving, because I think California Teachers Association, the cannibalism, I think, is right below the surface in terms of charter schools and dollars. So, I mean, I think we as an entity will need to be innovative in thinking about, how we are going to reach, support and engage our students, even if they don't come after charter schools. I think it's just going to be very important for us to, and I know you guys are, but we're going to have to just pull out all levels of creativity, instructional minutes, you know, instructional days, you know, how do we use whatever space we do have in the most versatile manner possible. So, I mean, it's just going to behoove us to be as creative as we possibly can, you know. And as a corporation, we are putting together a template. We've talked about it in some of our management meetings that at this point in time, we're looking at best practices from all across the United States in terms of how others are approaching education in terms of re-engagement. And so every bit of information we have, we'll just make sure we download it to Doreen and Bill and Shannon but again, being creative is, I think, going to be the key to how we get through this, really.
And I'm excited to share, board members. Last time we talked, we needed technology, and we had sent out a couple feelers on that. Well, Bill received word that he actually is going to get 150 Chromebooks from CDE. That said, we're working out the logistics and all of the different things that they need, the deployment, I should say, of those. And then we also had written a grant for additional Chromebooks or technology devices, and we were awarded that grant, and it looks like we'll get about 25 to 30 technology devices for San Bernardino. And again, we're working out the ordering and the lag time on that, I understand. I mean, technology is in demand. So hopefully that can bring us into next year as well to support us with any type of different strategies that we might have to use. We're also talking right now about our online enrollment and how we're gonna facilitate that process, because most likely that's gonna be the case. We're probably gonna have to do the majority of it online for going forward into next year. I'm also excited to give a tremendous amount of gratitude as well as thanks to Shannon, who her team in San Bernardino actually was able to operate two food banks for our families. I know we had initially discussed that we were sharing food resources and then in the neighboring counties from the school districts, but we also actually, Shannon and her team were able to come together and to provide two experiences of a food distribution for our families in San Bernardino. Shannon, I'll turn that over to you to share with the board about that.
Sure. It was not a like grab and go meal service. I had, with Doreen, I had worked during this year to create a partnership with Feeding America, and that got approved about 3 days after they shut everything down. So I got together with the team and we decided we're not going to let that partnership go to waste. So twice we have put in an order with them, and we were able to provide families with boxes of food to so it's not just a single meal, it was ingredients to provide ongoing meals for their families. And hopefully we can continue it in the future. There is a cost associated with it. So if we don't get the donations to cover our upfront costs, I don't know that we'll be able to continue it long-term. But for now, we were able to do it these two times, and our families have been really grateful. A tremendous amount of physical work, so I really have to congratulate the staff at San Bernardino, because they went out in the heat and, you know, with their masks and gloves on, which is even more challenging in the heat. And they unloaded and organized 4,000 pounds of food.
Wow.
Both times. Boxed it up, organized it, then the next day came back, put it out on tables, and had a drive-through system set up. I just sort of put it all in front of them and got out of their way and watched them do their magic.
That's fantastic.
It was very, very uplifting. And if you don't follow us on Facebook, I would encourage you, if you are on Facebook, I would encourage you to check it out, because the pictures are there, and the pictures of these kids being able to see their school. I'm not going to lie, every single staff member, including myself, cried both days to see them. We had one little girl make a big sign. She leaned out the window and held up the whole sign of all the people she missed, and she drew pictures of all of us, and it was a moment for sure.
That's wonderful.
I think it goes beyond the food. I think it just the opportunity to, you know, socially and emotionally connect with everybody.
Absolutely.
Speaks volumes. So Tremendous.
Oh, Bill, and Shannon, how are the parents and kids dealing with what's going on?
I hear daily from parents that they don't know how we do it and they're ready to send their kids back.
You know, I think in terms of looking at the online emphasis that's being pushed really significantly, the implication for parents and those that have to go back to work, those that are home but are kind of at their wits' end, there are really some issues that are going to have to be wrestled with if that's a predominant strategy for a prolonged period of time. The implications are significant that we're going to have to really think about for parents. Yeah.
Board members, if you don't have any, there we go. There's the pictures of the food distribution.
Congratulations, Shannon, on making that happen.
Thank you. There's our little poster.
Oh,
I don't know if it was Joseph or Nimmer, but whichever one of you brought that up, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
That's great.
See, and we were really good about our masks.
So with that, board members, I'm excited because we also had another huge milestone that occurred in between our last board meeting and now. And I feel like it was an eternity. But I'm excited to announce that San Bernardino, we had our charter renewal this year. We submitted the charter. We had our public hearing on May 19. We also had the vote the same night, and unanimously San Bernardino Charter School was approved for another 5 years. So congratulations to Ms. Brandner and all your team.
It was absolutely. And I'm going to turn that back around. I think Doreen worked the hardest on this. So it's a big congratulations to her. But it wasn't just the timeline. It was the ups and downs and ups and downs. And it was quite a roller coaster. So we were pretty excited.
Even the night of, I don't know if you guys got an opportunity to watch. The night of, it was kind of touch and go because we were under the impression that we were having our public hearing and then our immediate vote, but their board members didn't understand because historically you have your public hearing and then 30 days later you have your vote. However, the school district opted because of this protracted time to do the public hearing and the vote all in one. Unfortunately, their board members, I guess, wasn't communicated. So, you know, kind of right in the middle of it, you know, they were saying they weren't going to take action. Then a school district person said, no, you need to take action. And then another one said no. And then another one did say yes. So it was this back and forth, and we couldn't say anything or do anything at that point. We just kind of had to sit back and let it go. But fortunately, it shined in our favor, and they did take action to approve us. And again, I need to share that it was a unanimous vote, and that was quite exciting because for all of those board members, mm-hmm. Despite some of their own personal opinions on charter schools, to vote in favor of Ballington was tremendous.
I also would like to add that the full approval with no conditions is a very big deal in San Bernardino, because ever since the new charter school, the director of charter school operations has started, they've come down really hard on even the smallest of compliance issues, which they should. And several times this year, they have given charter schools conditional approvals that we will, you know, we will approve you when we get A, B, and C off this checklist. And they didn't have that for us at all. That was my big concern going in, is that it was going to be conditional, and it wasn't. And so again, I offer that congratulations to Doreen, because it was all her work that made sure that all of those things were addressed in the petition beforehand.
Well, congratulations to all of you.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
So board members, I had shared we were in kind of a little bit of a different situation, which forced us to be innovative with our public hearing, because they would not obviously let us bring anyone or allow us to even be present. So what we had done is we had put together a video. And so if I could take just a few minutes of your time to share with you this video. We got tremendous kudos from the Charter School Association on it. They thought that it was the model to be used for a public hearing.
Good evening, board members. My name is Shannon Brandner, and I'm the principal at Ballington Academy. During these unprecedented times, we are grateful for creative and innovative ways of sharing our school program with you. Please take a moment to enjoy our stakeholders discussing our high quality and innovative program. We look forward to our continued work with you as we continue to serve the students and families of San Bernardino.
I will act in a safe and healthy way. I will respect the rights of others. I will have a growth mindset. I will take responsibility for my learning. Today and every day, I will be out of charge.
My name is Christy Harris. I'm a civil engineer with a 25-year career in highway and bridge construction. I'm also a board president for Ballington Charter Academy. And I am here to request approval for a petition on behalf of the board. For the last 8 years, I have worked exclusively on highways and bridges in San Bernardino County. I first encountered Ballington when a friend from church, who is a teacher at Ballington, asked me to come speak to her class about what I do for a living. I immediately fell in love with the school, the staff, and of course the kids. At this point in our state and national history, we have a dire need for STEM disciplines, that is science, technology, engineering, and math. The United States has long been a leader in STEM disciplines, but we are facing a technology worker shortage, which will put our nation's technological innovation in jeopardy. One of the reasons I became involved in Ballington Charter Academy was because of their dynamic emphasis on innovative, interactive learning, because of the emphasis on developing young scholars in math and science, and because of the genuine care for each student. You only need to walk in the door of the Ballington Charter Academy to witness the active caring and support for the students. In a relatively short period of time, this school is becoming a cornerstone of the San Bernardino community. Today's young scholars are the leaders of tomorrow. On behalf of Ballington Charter Academy Board, I respectfully request approval for this petition. Thank you for your time and consideration.
At Ballington, we serve a high need population. 94% of our students participate in the free and reduced lunch program, and we have a 98% overall unduplicated pupil population. Our program focuses on a strong social emotional program in addition to the academic rigor. Teachers receive intensive and high quality professional development throughout the year in research-based strategies through project-based learning, Kagan, and Abbott Elementary. These programs create highly engaging and emotionally safe classrooms where teachers can deliver innovative and proven instructional strategies. The results are clear, as norm-based internal assessments demonstrate growth across all subgroups during the 1920 school year. Although our time with our students was limited this year, we know our academic rigor and overall engagement will provide students with the tools they need to succeed in the years to come.
My name is Marissa Robles, and I am a first-year teacher at Ballington Academy, teaching first grade. I choose Ballington for the innovative ways of learning using Kagan strategies, Abbott strategies, and rigorous activities. Every day, I choose to work with children, not leave anybody behind, and focus on building community and building relationships.
I am here to commend the staff at Ballington for their commitment to their students. As a third-year returning family for the coming 2021 school year, we are pleased with the staff's cordial professionalism, engagement, and cheerful environment they provide. I have countlessly seen staff individually acknowledge students by name, provide them praise with high fives, jokes, brain teasers, songs, and dances. This family-friendly environment reassures me the staff has the students' well-being at heart. In relation to the COVID-19 pandemic, students immediately had access to education via telecommute.
Hi, my name is Theo. I go to Ballington Academy. I am in first grade. I like my school a lot. I like my school because I learn new things. I also like my school because I have friends and the teachers are friendly, funny, and professional, and they care about us, and I like the trees and the lunch.
Good evening, San Bernardino City Board of Trustees, Dr. Faulkner, and San Bernardino District staff. My name is Doreen Mulls, and I am personally want to thank you for the opportunity to come to you and share with you Ballington Academy's public hearing. I know over the last few months, it has been extremely difficult, and I just hope that you and your family are safe and healthy at this difficult time. Albert Einstein tells us, in the middle of difficulty, there is an opportunity. Ballington Academy is hopeful to use this opportunity, albeit virtual, to demonstrate to you the tremendous accomplishments that we have done over the last 5 years that you have placed your trust in us. I am confident, as in other meetings with you, if we were in your boardroom, there would be a large outpour of students, families, and community demonstrating our support for the Ballington Academy Charter Schools renewal. Ballington Academy came to you 5 years ago and committed to you that we would develop an educational program that was responsive to students' needs, was engaging, robust, and rigorous. Ballington Academy, as a growing charter school, continues to work on building its fiscal reserve, and in addition to that, has secured a strong line of credit to support the many different essential needs, such as curriculum and technology, that we need to bring our educational program to life. Happily, our first day of school, we started with 44 students, and since then, consistently, every single year, we have averaged over 175 students. Ballington has always said, the single most essential ingredient for the life of a young child and to build strong, healthy communities is education.
Welcome to Volunteers of America, Ballington Academy for the Arts and Sciences. We provide an engaging, student-centered, standard-based education that supports the whole child. Ballington offers specialty classes in engineering, music, visual arts, and technology. Students begin with learning basic skills. As they grow, they apply these skills to enhance their learning experience. Ballington teaches a Common Core curriculum. Students integrate the arts and language to enhance student engagement and social development. At the same time, teachers focus on building resiliency, communication skills, self-regulation, and social-emotional competency. In engineering, students explore and develop technical coding skills. Students work collaboratively to code their individual robots and then compete with their peers on presentation, performance, and technique. At Ballington, students often work collaboratively with partners or in small groups to solve problems, and their shared learning process with peers and teachers. To help promote higher order thinking skills, Ballington Academy teaches students note-taking skills that allow them to chunk their ideas, ask probing questions, and organize ideas into essential detailed thought. Ballington Academy, we seek to instill a growth mindset in all of our students. Together with community partners, the school provides a caring, nurturing environment. Ballington is committed to the development of lifelong learning, equipping students with the skills they need to be successful in the 21st century. At Ballington, when our doors open, your child's future begins.
I like how the teachers have like a motivational type of way of teaching kids. It helps us try to keep average strong and not give up. So there's this thing that we say in the school is growth mindset. And we just keep trying, don't give up. If you can't do it, you just say, I can't do this yet, instead of saying, I can't do this. And I like making new friends here every day, and my favorite subject in school is math.
I like Ballington Academy because you can make new friends, you can learn about math, reading, critical reading, and division, multiplication. You can make a lot of new friends. There's delicious food.
So that was our video, and we got it to just about 10 minutes and 10 seconds over, and our requirement was 10 minutes, and it took a lot. We had to cut a lot. So I hope you enjoyed that, board members. Again, California Charter School Association did give us tremendous praise. They had shared that it really was a template for public hearing. It touched on everything that was really needed to be talked about. So again, hopefully you enjoyed that.
Wonderful work on the video. Really?
Yeah, definitely.
That's a great put.
Absolutely.
Who actually put it together?
So,
it's an organization called Puzzle Pieces. They were the marketing communications arm, but the real scripting, the layout, and the thought process really was Shannon and Doreen and, you know, organizing mm-hmm. all the pieces to kind of go together, to fit together smoothly. The Puzzle Pieces actually did the smoothing over part, because the hard work was done by Shannon and Doreen. And I guess I can't go past Bill Anderson, too. I really just need to make sure that it's emphasized really the collaborative nature of the way in which people work for the greater good of the children. Bill was in there as extensively as and along with Doreen and along with Shannon, making sure that we hit all of the right buttons and laid it out in the correct way. So when they talk about truly a team effort, it really was a team effort, and the results were absolutely great. I've been through at least four of these rechartering processes, and it really one of the smoothest. I mean, really, it was one of the smoothest. So kudos to the Bill, to Shannon, and to Doreen.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, any further comments or discussion on the video or on COVID-19 before we move on to the agenda action items? Okay. Not hearing anybody, so let's move on to Roman numeral 5, agenda action items. The first one, accept resignation of CEDC board member.
Board members, at our last meeting, we had spent, actually at our last couple meetings, we had spent quite a lot of time on our bylaws in direct response to the recent passing of SB 126 that really pertains to conflict of interest codes and governance. And out of that, it was determined for purposes of conflict of interest as well as appearance to maintain, I want to say, prevent the perception of a conflict of interest. We shared the recommendation that Mr. McFadden would maintain his role as president and CEO of Volunteers of a Community Education and Development Corp. And given that, would resign as a board member from the actual CEDC board piece. So what we have before you is actually Mr. McFadden's official notice of this.
Well, I move to approve Joe McFadden's resignation from the board.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Board members, I'm going to have to do a roll call vote. I'm sorry. Denise?
Yes.
Christy?
Yes.
Carla?
Yes.
Dilda?
Yes.
Gerald?
I have to abstain from the vote because I'm the centerpiece of that vote. And in my last official act, Dilda McFadden, you're going to have to hold up the McFadden image with seconding a lot of these actions in terms of it. So I'm putting that ball in your court.
Thank you, Gerald. Thank you so very much, man. You will be missed, man. I'm going to try to represent the McFadden.
Anymore, huh?
Yeah, you know, Senior McFadden. My hat's off to you. I wish you nothing but the best. I know you'll be around.
Oh, no, I'll be at the meetings. I just will not be able to vote.
Okay. All right.
I'm glad you said that because that was one of my main questions. Did you take the complete roll? Doreen?
Yes, I did. I am sorry. Motion carries with four yeses and one abstention.
Okay. All right, then. Let's move on to B, approval of April board minutes, attachment B. Any comments on the minutes?
Nope.
Okay. Hearing none, I'll move to approve.
Move to approve the April board minutes.
Okay, I'll second then. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Denise?
Aye.
Christy?
Aye.
Carla?
Yep.
Dilda?
Yes.
Okay, motion passes. All in favor.
Okay, we'll move on to C, approval of financial reports, attachment C. Do we have a presentation?
Yes.
Associated with
this? Yes. Okay. This is Doreen. I'll do the presentation this evening. I don't know how to flip that. So, So board members, I'll present to you the financials through April 2020 for both San Bernardino and El Centro. I'll take San Bernardino first. I have before you the estimated revenues. As we had met last time, based on the governor's direction, really he had shared that as of the end of February, that will be the attendance going forward. So that means that the revenue remained consistent for March and for April. We had a deficit this month and an overall deficit for year to date. I did want to advise the board members, April, we did have a lot of one-time expenses, such as our police contract with the school district came through, our payment for encroachment came through, and I don't believe that these expenses will repeat themselves going forward. I met with Ms. Brander, and we have identified a spending plan for the remainder of the year for May and June that we will be on a very tight expense, which we believe that we can do because school is essentially distance and we're not purchasing supplies or any additional variable expenses. So we do believe we can bring San Bernardino's school back into a positive. For Ballington El Centro, again, the revenue stayed the same because we understand based on the governor's direction that we will be using February's revenue. So it was the same for March and the same for April. Likewise, El Centro had a couple of large expenses, such as the food program's expenses hit us or hit El Centro. All in April, it appeared. We had many invoices for the food program come in that pushed El Centro into a deficit. I had also met with Mr. Anderson, and we identified a very tight spending plan for the remainder of the school year, which we believe we could hit because, again, we're doing distance learning. We're not ordering anything. We can control the variable costs at this point so that for May and June, we should be able to bring El Centro back into a positive end of the year status. And I'll entertain any questions.
So Doreen, you later on, we're gonna see a revised budget, but this is through April. And you were saying that you think we're going to be okay for the rest of the year. How does that, with the budget adjustments that you're going to talk about later, how is that going to work?
The budget adjustments, the budget going recommendations for the budget will be effective July 1st. For the budget approval process. So that is where we had to take the reduction of the LCFF 10% revenue piece. For this fiscal year, we don't anticipate any reductions in funding. The governor said that he would hold us harmless for this year. What will impact us this year is our last final payment in June. The governor in his May revise has shared that will be pushed out into July, which will present a cash flow problem to resolve.
So are you going to have enough line of credit to cover that?
I believe so. We are at this point, we are looking at solutions to address our cash flow.
Okay.
Doreen, I have a question about, and I'm not really sure where it is in the budget maybe, or in the financial statement, so maybe you could tell me, but I know the schools pay, or Ballington Academy pays a certain amount to Volunteers of America, and since our budget is being hit, is that contribution being reduced at all, you know, by 10% or something?
For this year, it is all based on, again, our enrollment. and the projected funding that the governor has shared. For next year, since there was a reduction in revenue, yes, that has been reduced as well in proportion to the reduction in revenue.
Okay. But any impact that's happening now is not recoverable.
The as far as funding reductions now in this
case,
the governor has held us harmless. Where there would be a variance in our
funding
for budgets this year would be we didn't hit our enrollment numbers. So for example, in El Centro, we budgeted to get 310 students and we averaged 275. So that impacted this year's revenue. Does that make sense?
It does. And is that something that would have been the case regardless of COVID-19?
Correct.
Okay.
We would have had to adjust because we're not serving the number of students we projected to serve. Okay. But as far as COVID-19 goes, the governor has shared that he has held us harmless.
Christy, it's really based on body count, days of attendance, et cetera. So that's the reason that it is adversely affected in this fiscal year. Now, next fiscal year has everything to do with economic reduction.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Marina,
got it. Thank you.
You have our ADA percentage, our attendance percentage at 93, but I think we were higher than that. We ended. So I'm a little confused at that.
I believe that you were at 96. I think the ADA is 93% that was budgeted. So enrollees, 310, and I believe that ADA tied to your budgeted ADA, not for your actual ADA. Any additional fiscal questions?
No, thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, I move to approve the financials report as presented.
I'll second.
A second. Okay. Roll call. Denise?
Yes.
Christy?
Yes.
Carla?
Yes.
Gilda?
Yes.
Motion passes then.
Okay, the next item is D, approval of CEDC bylaws, attachment D. And that was the original one, right? The original packet.
Yes. Board members, I think this is, I'm bringing before you the final version of the bylaws as we had spoke about at the last meeting and all of the changes. It does say draft on it because it has not yet been officially approved by your body. If you approve them, then obviously the draft will be removed. But I'll entertain any last minute questions on the bylaws and the proposed changes.
I'm good.
So hearing none, I will turn it over back over to Ms. Harris to see if there's a motion.
Okay. Did someone make a motion?
Dilda. I did.
So is Dilda?
Yes. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Denise?
You want to take the
vote? Yes, ma'am. Denise? Yes. Christy?
Aye.
Carla?
Yes.
And Dilda?
Yes.
Okay.
Motion passes.
Okay. Item E. Appointment of corporate officers, and that is attachment E.
board members, this is again, it's almost a companion piece to our revised bylaws, and also in response to our SB 126, all of this legislation about conflict of interest. I feel like that's a resonating theme for our board meeting. We are being asked for approval to change at the state level. We have to identify through our nonprofit paperwork officers. So we are being asked that if we could approve Gerald McFadden as the president of Community Education Development Corporation, and then Carla Coons be listed as treasurer and secretary at the state level for the corporation. And then I would just be simply listed as a staff designee to provide that support. And then I have also listed our current CEDC board members, Ms. Harris, Ms. Garcia, Ms. Kuhn, Ms. McKenzie, and Mr. McFadden.
So move.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Okay, Denise?
Yes.
Christy?
Yes.
Carla?
Yes.
Dilda?
Yes.
If you could please spell my first name right on the CDC board members.
Oh my goodness, sorry about that. That was my fault. I did a quick type. I will fix that, Ms. Kuhn. Sorry about that.
Oh,
that
was me. Okay.
I got it right first, huh, in the first area.
Okay, item F. Approval of avoidance of conflict procedures, attachment F in your packet, the original board packet we received.
Board members, again, this is in companion with our SB 126 law. This explains how we will go about putting in place avoiding any conflict of interest. And this really is a piece of really attempting to influence any CEDC decision that poses an actual or potential conflict of interest. It's asking that all qualifying members avoid situations involving actual perceived or potential conflicts of interest consistent with this policy. It's asking if there is any disqualifying interest, it should be immediately disclosed to the board. And likewise, if any employees have any conflict of interest, that we need to have them disclose them as well. It provides a structure of reporting that conflict of interest. It also asked in this process that the person with the interest transitions all aspects of it to a matter of another individual. It also asks that the individual could be available to assist to ensure efficient and appropriate handling. And if at any point in time we fail to disclose this conflict of interest, it could be grounds for termination. And then we talked a lot about an alternative reporting structure with Volunteers of America Southwest, as well as Volunteers of America Community Education and Development Corp. It lists that the CEO currently serves as the Chief Executive Officer of Southwest, as well as CEDC. And in order to ensure an arm's length or to avoid any appearance of conflict of interest, we're sharing that the CEO shall not participate in a transaction on behalf of CEDC that relates to Southwest, and that the superintendent or the designee should be responsible for any decisions. And again, this is just to demonstrate our approach to show that we're taking every precaution to avoid a appearance of or conflict of interest.
Any questions or
Well, move to approve the avoidance of conflict of interest, conflict procedures as presented by Doreen.
A second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Denise?
Yes.
Christy?
Aye.
Carla?
Yep.
Dilda?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Okay, item G, approval of school safety plan, attachment G, San Bernardino and El Centro, also in the original packet.
Board members, I gave you the very, very Cliff Notes version of probably a 200-page document at this point. The California Department of Education and also with in concert with our authorizers requires us to do a school safety plan. This school safety plan was most recently updated with a standardized templates. Our standardized template has met legal threshold at this point. I basically used this, I guess I want to say sheet to just identify to you what is included in our template. If you would like to see the template, please let us know and we definitely can get that to you. I just did not want to put it in your board packet because then it would have been 400 pages. But basically, it includes our building plans. It includes a designation of key staff roles and functions, basically our communication tree in case of an emergency. There are certain pieces of the template requires us to include our child abuse reporting procedures. It requires us to include our suspension and expulsion requirements procedures. It goes into a pretty detailed piece on what we would do in light of a fire, an earthquake, a bomb. It defines our lockdown, lockout, and our shelter in place procedures. It also speaks to some responses we would have for an active shooter. This is an annual document. What we will bring before you is our initial one for approval, and then every year we will bring any updates for your approval.
Doreen, can you do a motion for both, or do you want them separately?
You can do a motion for both.
I'll make a motion that we approve both plans.
Thank you.
I'll second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Doreen, this is Gerald. Just a quick, is there some benefit to posting or having this posted on our website, the Cliff Note version on our website, and then referencing for, you know, anyone that would have any desire for greater detail, they could, you know, take another action. But that way, parents and the general public could see that the school safety plan framework.
Sure. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Denise?
Yes.
Christy?
Aye.
Carla?
Aye.
And Dilda?
Yes.
Motion passes. Thank you.
Okay. Item 5 H, approval of updated CEDC and EHS CCPP agreement, attachment H.
Members, I brought this before you probably last year. This really is the only thing that changed in this was the number of students that we served. So we had written for a grant at our Early Head Start San Bernardino site to partner with an Early Head Start program. Our partnership was with the charter school, and this essentially speaks to that partnership. Through our Early Head Start Child Care Partnership grant, we actually were able to reduce the number of students served while maintaining the funded revenue. The Office of Head Start recognized that it was actually, our cost per child was a lot less than the average cost per child. So how they handled that was to reduce the number that we had to serve in lieu of actually reducing funding or giving us more funding. So that has been the only thing that has changed in this. Initially, we were serving 104. Now we are serving 94.
So are you talking about Early Head Start in San Bernardino?
Yes. Early Head Start in San Bernardino. We have our Early Head Start is co-located with our Ballington Academy Charter School, and part of the initial application for that Early Head Start grant was that we would partner with our charter school.
This
identifies that MOU between our charter school and our Early Head Start. Grant. And this was approved, I believe, I want to say the MOU was approved initially in our January 2019 board meeting, and now I'm just bringing it back before you because I modified the 104 students to 94 students.
Okay. Any further discussion on this? I'll make a motion to approve the updated CEDC and EHS CCPP agreement as presented by Doreen.
Second.
We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Denise?
Yes.
Christy?
Aye.
Carla?
Yes.
And Dilda?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Wow, you have a lot of action items today.
I know. I know, it's a long meeting, board members. A lot of business.
Okay, the next one is 5I, acceptance of consolidated audit 2018-2019, attachment I.
So board members, back in January, we had approved the Ballington Charter Schools audit that met the responsive requirements for our charter schools and for the CDE. This is simply bringing before you an administrative action based on a consolidated audit for the Community Education and Development Corporation.
I so move.
I'll second.
Who was the second?
I have a question.
Oh, sorry.
The financials look good. The related party transactions, does that mean that Volunteer of America hasn't got any payments yet?
What line are you on?
Note 7, related party transactions.
I believe Volunteers of America Southwest has received payments. This audit does include our all of the programs actually within Community Education and Development Corporation, including, I think I shared with you, Community Education Development Corporation was also awarded a state preschool program. So this is also in this audit as well, because it speaks to all of the corporation, where the other audit just spoke to the charter schools.
Yeah, but it's a lot of money that's owed to Volunteer America. Is Ballington ever going to be able to pay that?
The element is, Carla and other members of the board, one of the reasons that Volunteers of America Southwest is kind of a support system for the charter schools. Even in terms of cost overruns, there are opportunities where Volunteers of America will forgive a debt that it has funded so that the charter school won't carry an overburdening financial liability. So the issue is, as the preschool program gains its momentum, basically it will be able to pay a portion of the funds owed to Volunteers of America back. However, Volunteers of America has understood that basically the cost that has been incurred is not necessarily a cost that preschool will be able to pay Volunteers of America Southwest. But that liability cannot be left unrecognized. And so that's basically why that's in that audit.
Understand. Thank you. I have no other comments.
Okay. So I believe we had a first. I think we need a second still.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Denise?
Yes.
Christy?
Aye.
Carla?
Yes.
And Dilda?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Okay, we're on page 2 of the agenda. Item J, approval of the PPP loan, attachment J.
Board members, also in response to COVID, Our accounting team submitted a application for a PPP loan, and that is through the Small Business Associations program. I had before you the promissory note. We actually CEDC was approved for this PPP loan. The principal amount was $906,900. The date of the note was May 2nd, 2020. As you're familiar with, the interest rate is 1%. At the same time, I know that we're in the process of applying for forgiveness, and there's specific costs that can be forgiven, including the payroll cost, the rent, and the utilities across an 8-week period of time. So that will hit for Ballington, actually, the two Ballingtons this fiscal year for May and June. And we do anticipate being approved for that forgiveness aspect of it. But that I'll entertain any questions.
Well, so you are gonna meet the 75% payroll and the other expense?
Carla, could you say that again? I didn't quite hear you.
So you are gonna meet the 75% payroll expenses and then the rest of it for utilities and rent?
The analysis that we did when we submitted for it is really based on clearly on that capability to have the 75% payroll cost element as a forgivable portion. And so the analysis that we have done, and we're doing weekly tracking of both the expenses that we're charging to it. We set up a special payroll protection program account to track both the disbursements as well as to track the level of those disbursements. So we feel very confident that we'll be able to hit that 75% forgiveness. Actually, if we were able to, the other 25% is able to be forgiven as well in terms of it. So we think our goal is really to see if we can't be in that 95% forgiveness area for the total amount of $906,000. And even if we have a small portion that is not able to be forgiven at 1% interest, we can't get that at any bank, anywhere. We feel that it's a good financial decision for Community Education Development Corporation all the way around.
Oh, that's great. No more questions.
I'll move to approve.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed?
Denise?
Yes.
Christy?
Aye.
Carla?
Aye.
And Dilda?
Yes.
Okay, item K, approval of budget 2020-2021 for both San Bernardino and Del Centro. Attachment K, that came in the separate, did it come in the separate one?
Yes.
Yes, it did. Okay, in the one we got this morning.
So board members, before I begin, I just want to preface like I always do, and even more so now. Again, as I mentioned, when I had talked a lot about the May revise, a lot of these numbers are still fluid. We're being asked to put together a budget when we don't know, one, if the federal government's going to step in, to what really the governor's one-time allocation looks like at this point. The reason why we are doing it so early, and we're doing it a lot earlier than any of the other school districts do, and this has been historically the case. San Bernardino, our current authorizer, has asked us for our budget by June 1st, which, then in fact has us bring to you basically preliminary numbers. And as if you recall in the past, then come July when we have official numbers, we bring back to you a revised spending plan once those are known. So given that, board members, I wanted to preface that this is really fluid. Really, it's based on what we have now. And it's definitely subject to change in the near future, especially once Governor Newsom releases his one-time amounts. And given that, I had left a small caveat at the bottom with some of our recommended in the budget justification, some of our recommended cuts. I would ask if we could at least on those until July. When we also have more information, as well as, you know, the one-time funding, if the governor is actually going to receive any additional funding from the federal government, because that can change the landscape completely. So the budget proposed to you for both schools includes the 10% reduction in LCFF funding, which as we looked at this in a very tight budget already was extremely challenging. Ballington and San Bernardino, we maintained our enrollment at 200. We feel pretty confident, knock on wood, although COVID is presenting a whole bunch of different potentials right now, as far as, you know, students even wanting parents sending students to school, especially in those non-compulsory grades. But we do believe, based on our facility size, prior history, that we can in fact enroll 200, and that's really our cap there. So we estimated our revenue with that 10% reduction. San Bernardino looks a little bit higher because San Bernardino did have a number of one-time funding, such as the CSI funds, a coding grant that will not be brought forward into next fiscal year. Portions of it will not be brought forward. So given this, Ms. Brandner and I worked to determine really where we would identify the gap. And we tried to maintain student services as best as we possibly could. So board members, given that, we would propose at this point, should, knock on wood, the governor's May revise go as planned or without any additional, to eliminate our a position of the science teacher. This position is currently vacant. So essentially, we would not be having to lay off a person. We would just not hire for that person again. And we would ask our general education teachers to assume the role of science. We also included an elimination of 4 classified staff. Again, we tried to keep our certificated teachers present for the students. We also did a reduction in our books and supplies, office supplies and training. Some of these items, we were fortunate this year as it relates to supplies and books, really to invest such in Edgenuity, which is our online platform. That really is a one-time cost. We don't believe that we need to absorb that huge of a cost, but we, again, going into this upcoming year, so we had some cost savings there. That we were trying to leverage. We did increase the insurance, the communication, just a little bit based on trends. But as you can see, the cuts are in primarily in the classified staffing, as well as in books and supplies, and that respond to the 10% LCFF cut. Leaves a very, very thin, I want to say, line of that of about $300. Again, the budget is extremely tight for San Bernardino.
Yeah, I don't envy you having to put the budgets together with so many uncertain information we have with what's going to go forward. I made so many budgets and revisions for so many nonprofits, so it's absolutely not easy.
Yeah. And again, board members, there's a saying in the school finance: as soon as you print the budget, it's changed, and that's how it's been historically. But I feel like it's even more this year. I feel like the years we kind of threw a dart and said, okay, it is what it is for a week. And now it's even more so because we do know the high possibility of the infiltration of the one-time funds, which could help support you know, the addition back of the technology teacher who could then be used as an intervention specialist. It'll give us a little bit more flexibility. Likewise for San Bernardino, for El Centro, I think that you will see the same thing. We did not at this point budget 310 students. We were very conservative. We budgeted 274 based on our current enrollment and our current attendance. We did pop the ADA up to 96% because that is based on our current trend. We focused on being conservative because again, we're not sure of the impact on enrollment with COVID, so we didn't want to go extremely high. Again, though, this reflects the 10% in LCFF revenue. Likewise, we tried to maintain our general education teachers in services to our students. We did similarly in this budget eliminate the technology teacher. We felt that the teachers could, in fact, teach technology and integrate that into their regular lessons. At this point, we also, based on our current numbers, we did eliminate one of the general education teachers in a grade. But board members, if you know, that position is currently vacant, so we would just opt not to fill it. So no teacher would be laid off at this point. We would just not hire for it. There's also, we are asking for an elimination of 4 classified staff. Again, really trying to keep the certificated teacher core whole. A reduction again in books and some training, and just our resources there. And again, we purchased, we invested a lot of dollars in curriculum this year that we believe we could bring over into next year, the Fontes and Fennell one. Again, we tried to align for slight increases in rent. And we would ask again that until we have additional information from the governor, as far as the one-time funding, as well as the federal, any support from the federal government, if we could hold on making any of these adjustments until July 1st as well.
So when you took out 4 staff in each school, how are you gonna do the administration without those people?
So the primarily the administration, I know that it's going to add additional hats to Miss Brandner as well as Mr. Anderson, as far as some of that administration and being more hands-on. We have spoken about current positions, again, wearing additional hats. We've talked about the different administrative functions and who will assume those functions, such as our health reporting, as well as our meal reporting, and some of our ACES responsibilities. I know at Ms. Brandner's school, she actually eliminated the ACES coordinator and is going to split the responsibilities between 2 of her ACES team members.
Thank you.
Any further discussion?
Well, I move to approve the budget as presented for San Bernardino and El Centro. And I don't know if you're gonna have any revisions depending on what's gonna happen later.
Yes.
I'll second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Dilda,
any
Gerald, you had some comments?
No, I was just going to say, I wonder if the wording would be interim budget. Okay, since it's going to come back next month, that you're approving an interim budget to be formally presented again in July. I mean, Doreen, is that language okay with you, Doreen?
Preliminary budget, not.
Yeah, right. Definitely. Yeah. And I think that, again, because we're in the current time that we're in, it completely makes sense. I think our authorizer, San Bernardino, should know, based on, you know, the governor, they're doing the same thing. The governor hasn't even identified the one-time funding, but yet they're asking us to present to them a budget for next year by June 1st. So definitely preliminary budget works.
Yep.
El Centro doesn't ask for our budget until the third week in June, which gives us a little bit more leaning, a little bit more room. At the same time, it has historically been San Bernardino that wants it early. Okay, so Denise?
Yes.
Christy? She might be on mute. I think maybe we lost her, huh?
Yes, I was. Sorry about that.
Okay. Carla?
Yes.
And Dilda?
Yes.
Thanks. Motion passes.
Okay, we are on item L.
Almost there.
Pardon me?
We're almost there.
Yes, we're in the home stretch here.
Oh my goodness.
Item 5L, approval of management services agreement, VOASW Southwest 2020-2021. San Bernardino and El Centro, attachment L.
Yes, and board members, so I know that we have had many discussions on the actual services that we receive as professional services from Volunteers of America Southwest. So this document attempts to identify those services that are broken down into different service categories with a cost allocation next to them. So for San Bernardino, and they're very similar in respect to for both schools, Ballington San Bernardino provides you with a management agreement between Southwest and CEDC. And it identifies the amount of to compensate Southwest for these functions, which include performance management and accountability, fiscal management, human resources management, technology management, general administration, where that falls under lease negotiations, vendor selection, anything administrative, and then risk management and communication and fundraising. And it identifies the different elements of those pieces. Likewise, we have a management agreement written out between Southwest and Community Education Development Corp for El Centro as well.
So how did you come up with the amounts and percentages?
This was based on an allocation of time and cost that derived these amounts.
Thank you.
You mean like the time for the individual?
Their rate, or what they
would get paid. Say that again, Christy. Oh, I'm sorry. I was wondering if by that you meant actually the individuals who, when you say time, the individuals who were performing at the time that they put in actually multiplied by their hourly rate, or what their salary would break down into an hourly rate. Is that kind of how it was calculated?
To a certain degree, yes. It was based on an allocation of time spent to do those services and those functions.
So it's based on actuals from
prior trends, yes.
What's the deadline for approving this? I see it's July 1st, 2020 is the start of the agreement. Would it be a problem to push this to next month?
So we committed to the authorized to have this come to them as part of our budget, and that piece is
first. Okay. Got it.
Yeah, our San Bernardino is so early. They really like everything early.
Christy, why would you move it to next month?
To understand the numbers a little bit more, what's behind them. But if it's based on past year trends, I don't have any serious reservations about it. I just I would like to look into what those actually are, it's not a serious concern. It's just more curiosity and kind of convincing myself. But I wouldn't want to hold up anything just to satisfy my curiosity on this. I can always look into it. You have to remember, I work in a world of construction where it's actual billing rate times actual time, and I fight day in day out with contractors about that. So I'm trying to adjust how I think about this kind of thing sometimes when we develop budgets or numbers for things. Well, is there any other questions or discussion?
No, I'm good.
Okay. I'll move to approve.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay.
So Denise?
Yes.
Christy?
Aye.
Carla?
Yes.
Gilda?
Yes.
Okay. Motion passes.
Hey, we made it!
Yay!
Here we are at item 6. Does anyone have any closing comments?
Man. Girl, okay. They're all exhausted. They're exhausted, right?
I have to say, you all are troopers.
I would just say that some of the effort going forward would really, I think, be centered around really trying to drive back to a 2.5-hour agenda. I think that's something. There's just so many things that have happened in such a short period of time. So to agree, I want to apologize, for this much material coming to you at one time. But I think that's one of the things we can do is manage back to the 1.5-hour time frame. The second thing that I would just like to share with the board, something to think about, is that now you're at 4 board members, and it is absolutely going to be imperative that, one, we look at this issue of board recruitment. so that one, in case there ever is an issue, you can break the tie. You always want an odd number of individuals, but that we have as our focus the idea of trying to identify at least two to three board members as prospects for coming into, let's say, the fall quarter of our year, so that we really do get assertive in terms of trying to identify board talent to come on in our September window, our October window, rather. So I just put those two things out there as things to think about.
Thank you very much. Any other comments? Okay, I've got 7:29.